Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. You need to learn how to truly live by every word. Here is your host, Brian Davis.
You've probably heard about Elijah. He was a great prophet of God, a man that did an incredible work for God in ancient Israel, primarily during the reign of the evil King Ahab and his wife, the even more evil Jezebel. And most of Elijah's work was done there regarding the kingdom of Israel and during that reign of King Ahab and his wife. You've probably also heard about Elisha, another great prophet of God. Elisha was Elijah's successor, and he continued the work that Elijah had been doing for God during that time. And what happened at the time of Elisha succeeding Elijah has been the source of a lot of confusion for people. And I'd like to get into that account today. It's a very interesting passage. If you have your Bibles, you can turn over to 2 Kings chapter 2, and we'll pick it up in verse 1. And it came to pass, when the Eternal would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Now, this is a very interesting passage. God is about to transfer the leadership of his work at that time from Elijah, who was the human head of it, the human leader at the time. It was about to pass from Elijah to Elisha. And as part of that work, there were some colleges. There were colleges that are being talked about here in Gilgal and also in Bethel and in Jericho. So Elijah is traveling from place to place. Elisha is with him. There are students there. The students are called the sons of the prophets. And notice verse 2, and Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray you, for the Eternal has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. So it shows a great deal of loyalty and love that Elisha had for Elijah. And verse 3 says, and the sons of the prophets, or those students at the school who were at Bethel, came forth to Elisha and said unto him, know you that the Eternal will take away your master from your head today? And he said, yes, I know it. Hold your peace. And then verse 5, again, the same thing. The sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, know you that the Eternal will take away your master from your head today? And he answered, yes, I know it. Hold your peace. So they knew that Elisha was about to be taken away. And as it says here, that the Eternal will take away your master from your head today. Some translations put that this way, where it says the Eternal is about to take away your master from being your leader. So Elijah was no longer going to lead them and do God's work as he had been doing. Elisha was about to take over that responsibility, take over those responsibilities that Elijah had been doing. Now, God had his reasons for doing this, and there could have been several different reasons for it. But that's not really what we need to worry about or focus on today. The fact is, God was going to transfer authority to Elisha, and Elijah was going to be taken away. Now, take note, it does not say anywhere in what we've read that Elijah was going to die. Most people assume that Elijah was about to die, but it doesn't say that. And that's where a lot of people get into problems with some of these accounts in the Bible. They assume certain things or have some preconceived ideas as to what they think it's talking about. And they read into these passages some of the things that they've been taught or some of the things that they think about it, but it doesn't actually say it. So again, it does not say Elijah was about to die. It says he's about to be taken away from being the leader of God's work at that time. And it does say that he's going to be taken by a whirlwind into heaven. Now, it's the entire thing here is about a transfer of authority, a transfer of responsibilities. It talks about Elijah's mantle and that mantle going to Elisha. And so, again, we'll skip over some of this, but but that's what it's talking about. And then we get to verse 11, and notice it did happen. It says, "It came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder," or separated them. It parted them both asunder, separated them, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Verse 12 shows that Elisha saw this happen, and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and his horsemen." I mean, this was really quite a spectacular event. But does this say that Elijah went to heaven? Well, yes, it does. It does say he went to heaven. But the question is, which heaven? Which heaven did he go to? And again, take note that it does not say that Elijah died. It says that he went up into heaven by a whirlwind. And it was a chariot of fire that appeared, and it was quite a scene for sure. But the Bible does mention that there are several heavens, not just one. And this is where a lot of people make mistakes with regard to this account. Now, if you haven't listened to the previous program we gave on the subject of heaven, you might want to go back and look that up. You can see that. You can go to kpcg.fm and look up the archives of this program, the different episodes that we've already aired, and plenty of other great programs that you can look at, and all of those programs are there on demand, kpcg.fm, and you can also go to thetrumpet.com and click on the radio tab, and you can find all of those programs, not just this program and old episodes of this program, but fantastic programs and other episodes that you can get into and listen to on demand. But as a point of review, the fact of the matter is that the Bible talks about three heavens. The first heaven is where the dew comes from and where the birds fly. You can find that in Genesis 1 and verse 20. You can also see Genesis 27 and verse 28, Deuteronomy 33 and verse 28. I won't spend a lot of time going through and proving all of this because, again, we've already covered this in previous episodes, and you can go back and listen to those. But the heaven that is talked about there, that first heaven, is the earth's atmosphere, where the clouds are and where the wind blows. And as a matter of fact, every one of us right now, we're breathing the air of heaven, if you want to put it in biblical terms. And that is known as the first heaven mentioned in the Bible. Now, the word heaven also is used to describe the great expanse of the universe, the outer space, where we find the sun, the moon, the stars, comets, and planets. And King David talked about the heavens and the heavens declaring the work of God's hands. That's in Psalm 8. You can see in Genesis 1, verses 15 through 17, that out there where the stars are and the moon and the planets, that's called a heaven as well. And that's the second heaven. And then there is the third heaven, the heaven that most people assume Elijah went to, and that is the third heaven where God's throne is, where Jesus Christ is today. Jesus Christ is our high priest, and he is there in heaven with his Father sitting at his right hand. So there are those three heavens that the Bible speaks about. The first heaven, the earth's atmosphere, the second heaven, which is outer space, and then the third heaven where Jesus Christ is and where God the Father is and where the throne room of the universe is and where Jesus is currently sitting at the right hand of God. Now, most people assume Elijah went up to that third heaven, and certainly it does say that he was taken by a whirlwind up into heaven. But notice, let's just hold our place there in 2 Kings, and let's go back to the New Testament and look at the book of John. Here in John chapter 3, this is Jesus Christ talking to Nicodemus years later after Elijah, and we're getting on over about 900 years after Elijah, actually, when Jesus Christ is talking here to Nicodemus. And in verse 13 of John 3, it says, Jesus Christ talking, "No man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven." Now, there's a direct, clear statement from Jesus Christ. Now, in 2 Kings 2, it does clearly say that Elijah was taken up into heaven by a whirlwind. And yet, here, in John 3 and verse 13, Jesus Christ says, "No man has ascended up to heaven, but he who came down from heaven." Now, I would think that Jesus Christ is a pretty good source of information here. I think we can rely on him. After all, he came down from heaven, from that third heaven in the throne room of God. He would have known if Elijah would have been up there with him. Also, if you want to just put, if you're jotting down notes and you want to look at some of this later, Titus 1 and verse 2 says that God cannot lie. Matthew 4, Luke 4, both accounts tell us Jesus Christ said that we must live by every word of God. You see, there are no lies. There are no contradictions. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And then another verse you could look at later in John 10 and verse 35, Jesus Christ said that the scripture cannot be broken. The scripture absolutely cannot be broken. So there is no Bible contradiction here. And the answer to this is the fact is that Elijah did not ascend to the third heaven where God's throne is. Now again, Jesus Christ's own statement and all of these other scriptures, from those scriptures, from Jesus Christ's own words, we have absolute proof that no man has ascended to the heaven where God's throne is. No one has been there except Jesus, who came down from heaven. John 6 and verse 38 says that. And now, of course, he has ascended back to heaven, and he's sitting at the right hand of his Father in heaven. And you can read about that in Hebrews 8 if you want to go back and look at that. So again, Jesus Christ certainly would know. We can rely on what he has to say, and we can rely on God's word. And if we look at all of these verses, it tells us that Elijah was not taken to the third heaven when that chariot, when that fiery transportation system took him up into the air, and he was actually lifted by a whirlwind. So then, the question is, what happened? What happened to Elijah, and where, in fact, did Elijah go? We'll look at that and answer all of that after the break.
We'll be right back to Live by Every Word with your host, Brian Davis, here on 101.3 KPCG. Online, streaming live at kpcg.fm. The subject of today's program is, did Elijah go to heaven? A lot of people wonder about that history. It's recorded in 2 Kings 2. And to help you understand more about the former prophets, including this particular event, request our free book at thetrumpet.com. It's The Former Prophets, How to Become a King, written by Gerald Fleury, an expanded book, 12 chapters. And it will talk a lot about Elijah, especially there, in chapter 10 and chapter 11. Make sure to request that book. It's free. The Former Prophets, How to Become a King. It's at thetrumpet.com.
This is Live by Every Word. Here is your host, Brian Davis.
Welcome back, everyone. In the first half of the program, and we were talking about those verses found in 2 Kings chapter 2, these verses say, and combining it with the other verses in the Bible, and it's clearly shown and clearly proven that Elijah could not have gone to the heaven of God's throne. So that then leaves the question, well, where did he go? to which heaven did he go? Let's notice again, 2 Kings 2 and verse 1. And it came to pass when the Eternal would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind. So obviously God did take him up into heaven by a whirlwind. But again, which heaven? Verse 11 then, verse 1 is saying that God was going to do this. Verse 11 then shows that God did do this. It came to pass as they still went on and talked, that's Elijah and Elisha, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire. This is a spectacular transportation device of some sort, and horses of fire, and parted them asunder, separated them, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Now, there could be no whirlwind in any other place but in the earth's atmosphere. You can look at the three heavens, and in the first heaven, the earth's atmosphere, is where you'll find whirlwinds, where the birds fly. And you all have seen the great lifting power of a whirlwind. I know that we've all seen pictures of tornadoes, and there is great power in a whirlwind. And that's right here in the first heaven, in the earth's atmosphere. So essentially what happened to Elijah here was the same thing that happens to me or to you when you get on an airplane. I travel a good bit in airplanes, and every time I get into an airplane, I'm actually taken into heaven. I go up into the first heaven, into the earth's atmosphere. And many thousands of others do this every day, in fact. And why do people do this? In order to go to another place on the earth. And that's exactly what happened with Elijah. That is exactly what God did with Elijah. God lifted him up by a whirlwind, took him up into the first heaven, the earth's atmosphere, and took him to another place on this earth. He didn't take him to the throne room of the universe in the third heaven. He didn't take him into outer space into the second heaven. A whirlwind circulates in the first heaven, in the earth's atmosphere, and it would easily transport a human being from one location to another location on this earth. Now, again, it's not our focus, but you know, you can think, well, why did God perform this very unusual act, taking Elijah up into the sky and into the first heaven, the earth's atmosphere? And again, verses 3 and 5 show us that it was because he was not to be the leader of God's work in that area any longer. Elisha was going to take over and direct the work of God from that point on, and he did so for another 50 years or so. And like I said before, perhaps God had several reasons for doing this. One of them could have been the fact that the king had just died. King Ahaziah had just died, as chapter 1 and verse 18 points out here. And perhaps God wanted Elisha to start directing his work from the start of the new king's reign. Regardless of what all the reasons were, at this point now, there was a new king in Israel. Elisha was now going to direct God's work in that area and take over those responsibilities that Elijah had been handling. But also, it does not say anywhere here that Elijah died. As a matter of fact, the sons of the prophets went looking for him, trying to find him, and they couldn't find him. And that's because God had removed him from that area, moved him through the earth's atmosphere like you and I do when we're on an airplane, and he took him to another area, another location on the earth. Now, Elijah did live on after this experience. Again, the context here doesn't say a thing about Elijah dying. It talks about Elijah being taken away from Elisha. It doesn't say anything about Elijah facing death. Again, the entire purpose here was the changing of the guard in the leadership of God's work. So Elijah was gone. Elisha assumed those responsibilities and began directing the work of God. And if you read the story, you'll see Elisha took up the mantle of Elijah. And that's what that's all about, as we mentioned before. Now then, let's skip forward a few years in the story. In 2 Chronicles 21, we'll pick up the story here. 2 Chronicles 21, and at this point, we're about 10 years past from the time that Elijah was taken up in the whirlwind from Elisha and the sons of the prophets. So we're picking up the story now in the land of Judah, Elijah, remember, his work had primarily involved the kingdom of Israel under the reign of King Ahab, very evil King Ahab and his wife Jezebel. So now then, 10 years have passed, about 10 years have passed since what we were just reading in 2 Kings 2. And now we're focusing in here on the land of Judah, and the kingdom of Judah. And there's a new king there. Verse 1 says, "Now Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David, and Jehoram his son reigned in his stead." So Jehoram was the new king of Judah, not the king of Israel, but he was following in the ways of Israel and setting up idols in the nation of Judah as they had done in the nation of Israel. And notice verse 2, it says, "And he had brethren, brothers. They were also the sons of Jehoshaphat," and it gives their names, "and all of them were the sons of Jehoshaphat, the king of Israel. And their father gave them great gifts of silver and of gold and precious things, with fortified cities in Judah. But the kingdom he gave to Jehoram, because he was the firstborn. Now when Jehoram was risen up to the kingdom of his father, he strengthened himself and slew all of his brothers with the sword, and also some of the princes of Israel." So this Jehoram was a horrible king, a horrible person, and he starts out his reign by murdering his brothers. And verse 5, "Jehoram was 32 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem, and he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel." So he followed in the evil paths of King Ahab and others. And it says here he had the daughter of Ahab for his wife. He had married the daughter of Ahab. And he wrought that which was evil in the eyes of the Eternal. So King Jehoram was just doing some terrible things. And God was not unaware of any of this. It goes on and says that the Edomites revolted and rebelled against Judah. And just terrible things were happening there in Judah. If you skip down to verse 11, it says, "Moreover, he made high places in the mountains of Judah and caused the inhabitants of Jerusalem to commit fornication, and he compelled Judah thereto." He led Judah and led Jerusalem and the nation of God there in Judah away from God. And again, things just couldn't have been much worse. But notice what happens next. Now again, we're about 10 years on down the line, 10 years further down in time from the time that Elijah and Elisha had separated and been separated, with Elijah being taken up into the earth's atmosphere, into the first heaven, by this fiery chariot and the whirlwind. Now then, verse 12, "And there came a writing to him from Elijah the prophet." Well, what do you know? Here is a letter coming to this evil king, Jehoram, the king of Judah, and it comes from Elijah. Now, here's clear proof that Elijah, in fact, did not die and did not go to heaven, not into the third heaven, that is. He did go into heaven, into the first heaven, into the earth's atmosphere, and he was transported by God to another area on earth, and no doubt somewhere in that region, because he obviously knew what was going on here with Jehoram. In verse 12 again, "And there came a writing to him from Elijah the prophet, saying, Thus says the eternal God of David, your father, because you have not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat, your father, nor in the ways of Asa, king of Judah, but have walked in the ways of the kings of Israel." And remember how evil they were with Ahab and the others. And he's walking just in the same paths that they had been in, and have made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to go a-whoring like the whoredoms of the house of Ahab, and also have slain your brothers of your father's house, who were better than yourself. Behold, with a great plague will the Eternal smite your people and your children and your wives and all your goods, and you shall have a great sickness by disease, and it's a terrible, terrible prophecy. Imagine Jehoram receiving this letter and receiving this sentence, and he's receiving it from a prophet who essentially had come out of hiding to deliver it. The wording here is clear. Elijah obviously could not have written this before. Jehoram wasn't even the king, and Elijah had to have written this after Jehoram became the king, and after Jehoram had murdered his brothers and had led Judah into all of these terrible ways that were opposite of God. And also, again, just remember, the Bible states that the dead know not anything. Ecclesiastes 9 says that. Psalm 146 and verse 4 says that. If Elijah had died 10 years before, he would not have known that all of these things were happening. See, Elijah is subject to death, just like all of us. It's appointed unto all men once to die. Hebrews 9 and verse 27 says that. And obviously, Elijah had not died at this point. He was still somewhere on the earth, and he knew of what was going on, and God inspired him and compelled him to come out of hiding, send this letter to the king of Judah. And this is 10 years after he had been taken up into the first heaven by the whirlwind. So Elijah did not die. He did not go to the third heaven. Just like Christ said in John 3 and verse 13, no man has ascended unto heaven but Jesus Christ, and he is our high priest, and he has ascended into the third heaven. No human being is there. No man is there. And our focus has to be on God the Father and Jesus Christ and what they are doing from that throne room of the universe. And look, and Jesus Christ is about to return from that third heaven. And what we have to focus on is fulfilling the will of God, just like Elijah did, just like Elisha went on to do. And Elijah, of course, right now is dead and buried. His physical body has decayed. And we have to be focused on the eternal God of Elijah. That's what Elisha did when Elijah was gone. He said, where is the God of Elijah? That's what we need to be focused on. Who is in the third heaven is God the Father and Jesus Christ. And the Father is about to send his Son back to this earth. And at that time, Elijah will be resurrected and he will receive the great promise of eternal life. And God offers that same promise to each and every one of us. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on The Voice 101.3 KPCG and on the web at kpcg.fm.